Hey, thanks for downloading the show. This is Garden Fork Radio. It's me, Eric, talking with my interesting friends. It's a YouTube channel and an audio podcast. Today, I just want to cut to it straight because my friend Noreen from the YouTube channel Noreen's Kitchen is here, and she just went through Hurricane Florence in New Bern, North Carolina, which was at the top of the news all the time. And I thought, hello, Noreen.
Hey. Hello, Eric. Thank you for having me on today.
I was following you on Instagram, and you posted a picture of a radar shot of the hurricane with a dot showing your town. And then you didn't post anything for 18 hours. And I was like, what's going on, you know? So I didn't know if you had been flooded out. And then you popped up saying that you were buying supplies for other people. And I was like, oh, great. So you've taken a minute from your recovery here to be on the show. So thanks.
It is my pleasure.
So every year we usually have a show about, you know, storm prep or, you know, and what to be prepared for and how to react and how to donate if you want to help. And, you know, instead of dumping a bag of used clothes somewhere, I thought I would just, if you have, you know, gracefully had a moment here and you could kind of walk us through what all happened and what you're doing now.
Oh, sure. Well, this isn't our first hurricane, but this is definitely the worst one we've been through. In 2012, as a family, we experienced Hurricane Irene, and we did have power outage. When a hurricane comes through, we just expect that we're going to be without power for at least a few days. Last time it was 5 days, this time it was 4 days. But this hurricane was definitely much worse than the last one. The winds were a lot more severe. And this hurricane, it just baffled weathermen. And for days in advance, they really couldn't figure out what we were going to experience. And while we didn't get the eye walls of the hurricane at all, we were hit pretty much first. And we were hit pretty hard. We live at the New Bern, North Carolina, is at the convergence of the Trent and Neuse rivers. So what that means is these two rivers kind of meet and then they go their separate ways. With that being said, we do have a lot of waterfront and our entire downtown area is on the waterfront. Now, 3 or 4 days in advance, a mandatory evacuation order was put in place for our entire county.
Wow.
Now, the one thing I will say is when those are put into place is really is for the safety of everyone, but it is for the safety of first responders and emergency workers, because in the event that you need help, if you choose to stay and ignore the order, you may not actually get someone to help you should you call 911, because there may not be anyone to help you.
You're endangering the emergency workers.
You really are. So it's kind of a way for everybody to take responsibility. Now, I think one of the first things to know is, where's your house sit in regard to the water? Do you live in a place that's close to the river? Do you live in a place that you're going to be flooding? Do you have a lot of trees around you? Do you live in a mobile home? It is my recommendation that when you go through something like a hurricane, that if they call for mandatory evacuation, because they actually were feeling that Florence was going to be a low-grade Category 5 hurricane when it made landfall. That is nothing to sneeze at.
Right.
As it was, she was a Category 3 when she hit us, which is what Irene was when she hit us. But if you are living in a mobile home, if you are living on the river, you should leave, because there are a lot of people who, you know, they have waterfront property. When they go buy a house and, oh, look, I live on the water. I have a dock. I have a boat. It's awesome. Life is great. Until a Category 3 hurricane hits, and then you lose everything because you decided to stay. And there were people who needed to be rescued from their attics.
Yeah.
There were people who needed to be rescued from flooded out cars because they decided to leave too late. And then they got on the roadway that was flooded out. I'm seeing a lot of really horrible stories. We have five shelters in our town right now, and they're all full. So we have approximately 5,000 people in shelters.
Wow.
Emergency workers did an amazing job. The Cajun Navy, God bless them, they showed here.
I love that.
You know, they're great guys, and the amount of effort and goodwill that I've seen in the last few days is really incredible. But even so, when they issue those orders, you really need to pay attention to them. And they're nothing, you know, to joke about or go, oh, psh, I'm going to stay. We stayed, but we live on high ground, and we knew that we were not going to flood. And we didn't flood at all. So we didn't sustain any damage. We have a couple of downed limbs in our front yard, but we're good. But if you've never been through a hurricane, it is scary.
Yeah.
It is just scary. Your power goes out. And generally, when hurricanes come through, the weather is very warm. So it's very warm, and it's very humid, and it's very wet because it's raining for a few days at least, and the wind is blowing. We had a neighbor who had a very large oak tree lose a very large limb in his front yard. And when you're hearing that wind and those gusts, and because your windows are open, it's very, very frightening. You hear those large gusts of wind over your house, and then you hear crack, 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 thud. and you can't see where it is because it's pitch dark outside. And you have to wait until the morning to assess the damage. So you need to get out if you can and get to higher ground or go a few hours away at the very least. If you don't think that your house is going to make it, your life is not worth your stuff.
That's
just what I have to say about that.
Which is why I'm getting rid of a lot of stuff. So
right, stuff bogs you down, right?
I thought. You know what? I was curious, and I don't know if you have an answer to this, but people that have agricultural livestock, I mean, what? That's a quandary there.
It really is. And because I don't have any, you know, people make the best of it. People with farms and barns and like chickens or small stock, they can actually put them in pens that are above the waterline. But our river hasn't even crested yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, our river is not scheduled to crest until Thursday.
Right, because you're still getting the rain. Because, I mean, for people that are listening, you had what's called storm surge, which is basically wind-driven ocean water being shoved up the river. And then you had rainwater coming down the rivers. And New Bern is at the crux of that.
That's right. That's right. And so when the hurricane comes onto the land, it's pushing all that ocean water into the inland rivers and tributaries and what have you. If it doesn't have anywhere else to go, it goes into your house into the businesses, the downtown areas or wherever. You know, water is a very, very strong force. And then it might be calm for a few days. The water will recede and people will think they're safe. But about 3 to 5 days later, because the storm is still hitting the western part of the state, and all of that rainfall is then going to drain into the tributaries and what have you back the other direction and come downstream, so to speak, to the ocean. So then we have communities that are not far from us to the east, well, to the north, Kinston being the biggest one. That's where Vivian Howard and her husband live, and that's where they have the restaurant, The Chef and the Farmer in Kinston. Kinston invariably floods every single time something like this happens. In 2016, they were decimated by Hurricane Matthew, which did very little damage in my area. In fact, we didn't even see but a rain shower or two. But all of the water that it dumped inland flooded Kinston and took out several businesses and roads, and it was terrible. So it just depends, you know, how a community is going to be affected. You're either going to get affected at the beginning or at the end or every which way in between.
All right. So what did you guys knew this was coming, and you, like me, are kind of a preparation-minded person. What did you have in place already, or made sure? What should people do from your experience?
Well, first of all, make sure you're monitoring the weather and you know where it's going to hit and what it's going to do. And if you choose to stay, then we have a hurricane kit and we keep that updated. In fact, I think Rick is going to do a video on his channel when we pack our hurricane kit away after this storm. And we always learn a little something after each and every storm. So, you know, that's always a good thing. Always be open-minded and always keep learning what is helpful to you. But number one, you're going to have water. Now, our water never went out and we never had a boil water order. So we were lucky we could just take from the tap. And we have a propane water heater, so we didn't run out of hot water. We could shower, we could flush, we could do all those things. We just didn't have electricity.
Right.
That's almost better to me, is being, because if you aren't going to be able to use your toilet, you're going to want to fill your bathtubs in advance.
Yep.
So that you have water to flush with. And then you're going to want to have a good amount of drinking water on hand, whether you have a water filtration system. For instance, we have a Berkey water filter for drinking water, but we also had purchased several flats of bottled water, and ice. You're going to want to make sure you have ice on hand. Now, before the power went out, we purchased a dozen bags of ice so that we had them in the freezers.
Oh, but the smart.
You know, that way when the power went out, we could fill up the coolers with the perishables. And that's the other thing a lot of people don't think about. If you know that a storm is coming like this, you know, Florence took like 10 days to get to us, that they were monitoring her and they were thinking it's going to be a pretty big one. That's when you start cleaning out your freezers, cleaning out your refrigerators, and really paring down those perishables so that you don't have a lot to deal with when you have to pack your cooler. Because, you know, do you really want to have to stuff your cooler full of condiments instead of meat? Now, yeah. one of the things I made sure to do, and I did this the last time, was we have a deep freeze. So we took all the meat out of wherever and we put it in the deep freeze and we stuffed that super full and we made sure it was good and frozen solid, because as long as you don't open that, that's going to stay frozen for up to 4 days.
Yeah.
Because before it starts to thaw out. So we didn't lose any of our meat. But, you know, and then you may be throwing away some cheese or some jelly or whatever. But it's very minimal. That way you're saving yourself some effort and some money by not losing a whole bunch of grocery investment, so to speak. But you're also going to want to make sure that you have some non-perishable food items on hand, like canned ravioli or like corned beef hash or mm-hmm. Spam, even tuna, whatever you prefer. And if you don't have those things, you're going to make sure that you have a way to cook some things. Like we have a couple of butane stoves. If you do a lot of camping, then, you know, your camp stove and those little butane cans, they're going to be great for you. Your barbecue is great. Just make sure that you have some extra bags of charcoal. And we always make sure that we prepare for being without power for up to a week, just in case. Now, I'm not going to say we prepare for being without power up to a week and we're happy about it.
Right.
But there are people who will be without power for up to 2 weeks, depending on the area in where I live, and how quickly the linemen can get to them and how many downed trees there are and how decimated the power lines are. So it just really, really depends. You want to have things on hand that are going to make you happy. You're not going to have appetite fatigue because nobody wants to eat hot dogs 3 times a day. you would really be surprised at some people and what they do to prepare, which is, you know, everyone has their own way and no way is wrong, but you definitely want to make sure you have water and you definitely want to make sure you have something to eat. Because there's no way you're getting out, and there's no businesses where you can purchase anything. So until at least a couple of days after the storm passes. I'd say that today is probably the first day where things are somewhat normal, but people and restaurants are still, they're open, but they're running on limited menus, and we're still having issues with supply trucks getting through because we are in a landlocked county with the imminent flooding. They're not letting anyone in or out.
Yeah.
So that's also something that I've never seen happen before. And we've lived here for 12 years. So that gives you some idea of the severity of this storm. Florence took with her roads. She just washed complete roads away in the Wilmington area. And there are parts of Highway 95 and Highway 40 that are completely impassable.
I saw that on the news. Yeah, Wilmington is just cut off, basically.
Yeah, it kind of really is. So I think that when you're preparing for something like this, you just want to be smart. If you have several days in advance notice, you're going to make sure you have any medicine prescriptions.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you have those on hand. Definitely non-perishable food items. You're definitely going to want to have something to occupy your time because you will become stir crazy. have those card games, have those games available because you're going to sit around talking with your family for a long time, or you're just going to just be fighting. I'm not going to lie. Tensions are high. Stress levels are high.
Yeah.
You're hot, it's humid, you're sweaty, everything sticks to you. It's very uncomfortable. And I figured out the very best way to get the electricity to come back on is that yesterday morning we decided to go buy a generator. We've not ever had a generator.
Mm-hmm.
Rick had... he had set up a system with a power inverter where he hooked that up to my car battery, and we ran the car. We kind of used the car like a little bit of a generator for a few days, and that worked great. We were able to plug in a fan, and we were able to charge our cell phones, so we had communication with the outside world. But yesterday morning, we were told there was no guarantee that our power was going to be on in the next week. So we saw that a local business had gotten a shipment of generators, and we just decided we're going to go ahead and buy one. Probably an investment we should have made long overdue.
Yeah.
But as soon as we got the generator, we set it up. We got it filled with gas and oil, and we got everything ready. We decided to go and have dinner at a local restaurant that was open. And when we got home, the power was on. So it's like magic, right?
When I used to have friends that smoked, and we were like waiting... we were waiting in line to go have dinner at some restaurant, and I'm like, look, if you light up a cigarette, we'll get a table. And so as soon as they would light up the cigarette, we would get a table.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true.
Well, it's good you have it. As Rick, I'm sure Rick knows, but gas stabilizer in that generator. So
yes, we have some. We actually went and bought some yesterday. And also what I learned, which I didn't know because we've never had a generator before, several of our friends have mentioned to us that you should not put ethanol gasoline in your generator. And I did not know that. We don't have ethanol this time of year in our gasoline in this area, so that wasn't a worry. But for those of you who may be out there listening and didn't know that, I did not know that you don't put ethanol-based gasoline in your generator.
Yeah, you avoid it. I mean, like in Connecticut, you can't get away from it. But the gas stabilizer, the stuff in the red, the kind of red liquid, I think it's called Stabil, neutralizes the ethanol. But if you can avoid it altogether, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So, lessons learned all around. And the other thing, too, that I didn't know, we had to go and buy a ground wire. We had, you have to ground your generator. So that all depends. You have to put it where you are. We set it up on our back deck where the ground wire was right there coming out of the electrical meter. So,
perfect. Yeah. Just clip it right to that.
Yeah. And that's what Rick did. So all those little things that you learn over time, So now we have a generator, which, like I said, it was an investment we probably need to make a long time ago anyway. So next time it won't be a surprise and we'll be ready to go.
Well, if you, in the future, if you want to hook the generator into your electric panel, I'll send you a link to a video I made installing what's called a generator interlock. And Rick will get it right away, but it's the simplest way and, and one of the safest ways. I'll send you a link. And I'll link to it in the show notes here for people.
Thank you. Awesome. We have the local electrician lives a couple houses down from us, and we were just talking about this morning and having him install a bypass so that if that ever happens, we can just hook the generator right to the house and we can bypass the main line. Because that's another thing. We had a man in Kinston who died hooking up his generator to his house because he really shouldn't have been doing that. I mean, when you put a generator on your house, I did not know this. If you don't do it right, it feeds back. It back feeds into the main line.
Yes.
So when the linemen come, they think the line is dead, but it's not. And then they can get severely injured. So we don't want that happening.
No. So going forward here, I know on, I saw on Instagram, you're now helping other people. And how, you know, everyone wants to help and they're like short of, I think the closer you get the money to the where it's needed, the better. And so do you have any suggestions for that? Do you know anything going on or?
Thank you for asking. I put a video out on my channel a couple of days ago. It was very poor quality, but I did it on my phone and my daughter helped me do it.
It works.
It does. It works great. I am taking donations through my channel, through my PayPal, and I'm kind of getting it directly to the people who need it. We're trying to fill in the cracks, you know?
Yeah.
There are a lot of relief organizations here in town that have set up. Samaritan's Purse has set up. They're helping people to clean out their flooded homes. World Hope is here, and an organization called God's Pit Crew is here, and they are out of Danville, Virginia. They are passing out something called blessing buckets, which are full of non-perishable food items, cleaning supplies, and personal care items and things like that. There's a ton. In our cat is talking to you. So
that's fine.
there are a ton of local organizations, my church included, which is a very small church here in town. But we're trying to fill in the cracks and help people any way we can. So I put the call out on my YouTube channel and put the link for donations. And people have really stepped up. So, you know, if people are contacting me, like saying, I have a family in the shelter who they lost everything. They had to be rescued from their car and they need a toddler car seat. Okay, no problem.
Boom.
We'll go and do that. I had someone just earlier say, we have a family in the shelter. It's three women and a two-year-old and they need some clothes. They've been in the same clothes since they got to the shelter on the first night, so we're going to take care of them. A friend of mine from the church wants to tomorrow morning go and buy a bunch of biscuits from the local McDonald's and pass them out to the people at the shelter. So, you know, we're going to give her some money so that she can do that.
Yeah.
And we have collected almost $3,000. And we are super humbled and blessed. And I'd really love to see a goal of 5,000, just because I think we can do an awful lot of good filling in those cracks. You know, when people go to FEMA, they have to fill out an application. When people go to a lot of places, they have to fill out an application.
Right.
I feel like when someone contacts me, knows that this is happening and they say, I need help XYZ, and we can throw them a little bit of help. Our local no-kill animal rescue, which is called Colonial Capital Humane Society, they went out in waist-deep water rescuing pets that people left behind because they had no choice in many cases. And the local veterinary clinic that just built a new facility gave them their old facility to set up in. You know, they're putting out the call for we need cat food and dog food and cat litter. So, you know, we're going to make sure they have some of the things they need. You know, it's just those little things you spread out and you help everybody a little bit the best way you can. instead of having people sit down and, you know, oh, you need help here, fill this out.
Right.
I don't need to fill it out. I just want to know what you need and how I can help you.
Yeah, New York City is still rebuilding from Hurricane Sandy, and it's all paperwork.
It is, and I get that it needs to happen. I really, really do, because I think that, you know, there's a lot of unsavory people out there who are trying to take advantage of the system. If someone from my church contacts me and says, I know this person whose roof fell through and they have nothing,
yeah,
you know, what, like a friend of mine, her daughter, returned from the evacuation only to find that her roof had ruptured over the room where they had put all of their belongings, in anticipation of the storm. And so they set up a GoFundMe. So, you know, we made a contribution to that. So, you know, Perfect. That's what we're trying to do.
Cool. Well, I'll link to that in the show notes here for the show. So that'll be cool. And awesome. I'll put it on the Facebook group too. So
thank you very much.
All right, cool. Well, I don't want to take all your time because I know you got to go out there. There's also an Instagram picture of you at the grocery store buying stuff. So
yep.
I'll let you go back to work.
We bought a couple of loads of personal care items that were taken to the shelter, and we're going to go back and buy more because, you know, babies, they can't reuse diapers.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for taking the time. I thought, well, she might be really busy, but maybe I can get 25 minutes out of her. So
boom. I'm so happy to share with you anytime, Eric. Thank you so much for having me on.
Garden Fork Radio's executive producer is Jimmy Gutz of hollowbooks.com. And our music is licensed from uniquetracks.com.